Welcome to the IPv6 Buzz podcast, where we dare to dive into the 128-bit address space wormhole. Hey, it's just a quick reminder as we kick off the new year. There's plenty of sponsorship opportunities available for IPv6 Buzz and the other Packet Pusher podcast shows. So if you're interested, you can go to packetpushers.net/sponsorship for details. And if you have IPv6 support in your product, we really want to hear about it. And so it'd be great to be able to feature on IPv6 Buzz. You can come in and talk to us, and you know, we really love to hear from you. With that, I'm Ed Horley with my co-hosts Tom Coffeen and Scott Hoag. And today we're going to be talking about IPv6 in Latin America, and it's with our guest Alejandro Acosta from LACNIC. And so we wanted to jump right in, start off with some questions. And first of all, welcome. I hope everything is going well, and thanks so much for accommodating us on the time zone difference. Sort of wanted to know what the current state of IPv6 adoption in Latin America is, you know, and what's going on down there and what's going on with V6.
Hello, Ed, Tom, Scott. Thank you so much for inviting me here today. It is a great honor for me. And I think this is very fun, you know, to be in your podcast. And now going back to your question regarding the current state of the IPv6 adoption down here, like you said, as a comment, that there is something that we, personally I do, I pay a lot of attention to it almost every day after I wake up. I go to my computer and I check some statistics that we generate in LACNIC regarding IPv6 and penetration rate from the end user perspective. I mean, like for any internet user. We also have many scripts, for example, that send us if for any reason a country jumps in the statistics, in the number, we get an email or something telling us, hey, you know what, Uruguay or Colombia or any other country in our region are doing great. Well, regarding, for example, the average of the region, in this moment, I can tell you that if you sum all the numbers in our region and you divide IPv6 penetration rate among all the countries, we have in this moment 25% of IPv6 penetration rate to the end user. It is not a so low number. It is just, I think we are doing good in that part. I can tell you, other countries in our region, I mean, that are doing good things. For example, Brazil, Mexico, Uruguay, all of them, in this moment, they have over 30% of IPv6 penetration rate, which is very nice. Also, there is a small country in our region. It is called French Guiana. They are doing terrific. Also, for example, they are like among the top 10 countries in the world in IPv6. That is just fine. And we have many other countries that are doing good. For example, Colombia, Peru, Trinidad and Tobago, all of them are doing good. And when I say they are doing good, it is they have at least 10% of IPv6 penetration rate.
So Alejandro, how are you measuring that penetration rate? I mean, you mentioned the end user. I know traditionally the challenge, well, pretty much in every region has been first getting the service providers on board, and then, you know, obviously getting the content enabled over IPv6, and that part's been largely solved for like the biggest websites. And then, of course, it's really the mobile and the broadband providers that are actually going to connect up the eyeballs. So is that the typical like sequence that you see in Latin American countries? Now you've reached a certain level of saturation with the service providers with IPv6?
Well, let's begin from the start of your comment. How do we measure this? To be fully honest, we have a lot of different measurements. The one I am talking about when I mention IPv6 penetration rate, I highlight when I say from the end user perspective. What we are doing in this regard is something quite nice. We have been gathering every day the Google statistics. Okay, and we are doing that because, if you go to Google in this moment and you check the IPv6 penetration, IPv6 statistics, you are going to see the current map of the world with the current value of the country. That is perfect, of course. But the problem is that you cannot see the history of the country. You are only going to have the snapshot of the today's number. Mm-hmm. So every day since 2014. We have like a robot who gets that number, and we are saving it in databases. And we do not keep that number for us. We have everything available in open data. So you can go in this moment to stats.labs.lacnic.net. You can take the JSON file or the CVS file for that statistics, and you can check it. Regarding other measurement that we have, there is a very difficult one that I believe it is a headache for everybody. Is, for example, to measure the IPv6 in the content. I mean, in web servers, mail servers, mm-hmm. DNS. And that is very difficult because it is more difficult in Latin America than in the US. Maybe I am wrong, but let me tell you my rationale behind my idea. The problem with this is that there are so many companies, they have their websites, but many of us in Latin America, we buy the web hosting services in the US or in Europe. So for us, it's very difficult to measure. Maybe the website is located in a country code, top-level domain of our region, but maybe the IPv6 address that it resolves belongs to Europe. So it is very, very difficult to measure the content and to give an appropriate number, you know, like a realistic number. Hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, companies all over the world are using cloud-based resources, and those could be in other geographies, regardless of where the real company is that, you know, is creating the content. You know, it doesn't have to be in the same country. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's very difficult. And we have tried many different approaches. We have one in this moment. We are also measuring, it's online too, of course, in the very same website that I mentioned before. We are trying to see if the content in our region is leaving our region. I mean, in this moment, I know how many websites are IPv6 enabled. And I know how many websites are in LACNIC's IPv6 addresses. We are trying to see over the time if the web server that is hosting the website is still in Latin American or not. So we can try to see if the traffic is leaving our region. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I can tell you that it is leaving our region. That is not good at all.
Yeah, because now cloud providers allow you to bring your own IPv6 address now. So yeah, that would be possible. You could be using an out-of-region address in a hosting cloud provider in another location, another country, another region.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everybody uses Google, AWS, and Yahoo, and many more out there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you come across in the LACNIC region organizations that may be doing innovative things with IPv6 where they need an abundant supply of addresses? They haven't been able to do some type of creative solution in IPv4, and then so they're using IPv6 and IPv6 only? Has there been any use cases in the region of V6 only applications?
V6 only apps, unfortunately, I have not seen any of that in the region. I am not aware of, probably there are, but, you know.
I didn't know if there was any IoT systems in, you know, natural resource exploration and farming and any other industrial applications. Just asking. Because we talk about that a lot on this podcast, and so we're curious about that.
Okay, well, let me try to give you a better response than before. I am not aware of any IPv6-only solution. However, I am happy to tell you that I am aware of IoT solutions with farming, with cattle. And I am very happy to tell you that I know, for example, countries where they have cows and they have already connected the cows to the internet. However, this is not an IPv6 specific solution. And they are aware, for example, if the cow moves, they are able to monitor if the heart rate of the cow, the symptoms, the pulse of the cow, and they can like be proactive and to know if actually the cow is sick, and in case they believe it is sick, they can cure it in advance. So that is a very nice solution. And I am a believer that IPv6 in somehow, maybe when I say these words, the people believe that I am probably overreacting, but they also, I believe that IPv6 can help the starvation in the world if we use IPv6 in the proper way.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because for farming and for many other, you know, new use cases, like how do you address so many devices that they want to maybe bring online? And so we now have a new term, you guys. It's IOC, right? Internet of Cow.
The cow-enabled internet. Does this count as a scoop for us for IPv6 Buzz? I mean, I haven't heard of the cow-enabled internet.
I think what we should be talking about is bee-enabled networks, right? So yeah, it's going to be internet step. Of bees, but yeah. Then you definitely need V6 for the number of addresses.
It's cow as a service.
Well, the country that is doing this is in Costa Rica, so it is in Latin America. I am not inventing anything. That's something very real.
Yeah, yeah. No, of course. And as you point out, there's definitely a role for resource management in ways that we haven't even really begun to conceive of just because of the lack of internet resources to get everything connected. So V6 solving that problem. Now, if we can get the cows moved over to an IPv6 only network, then I think we'll be making some good progress, some good additional progress.
Then we have to deal with the IPv6 methane detection for the IPv6 cows.
That's right.
Since you're so in region for Latin America and you clearly are keeping up on all the stats, I mean, is there any sort of overall trend that you can tell us about in terms of what's going on? Obviously, there's growth that's happening, but the rate of growth is really important in terms of IPv6 adoption. So maybe talk a little bit about how quickly some of the countries are adopting and how quickly they've changed over time around it would be really useful for the audience to sort of hear.
Sure. I'm going to tell you about recent researchers that we have performed. During the pandemic, we were wondering if in Latin America, the IPv6 penetration rate was going up or so. And I'm happy to tell you that in 6 months, Latin America grew the double of how much it grew during the whole 2019. Okay, I mean, you take the number, the percentage of 2019 that it grew all year long, and in less than 6 months, we did the same in 2020. What I'm trying to tell you with this is that IPv6 is happening. We are growing. I cannot tell you quite fast. You can see the numbers as I do. But I think it is actually going going up. I have spoken with over a dozen of ISPs in the last 2 months. I'm happy to tell you that all of them, not even one, all of them, are deploying IPv6 in this moment, or at least they have plans to do so in the not distant future.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of metrics that are really important, and it's also the size and geography of the country and how many people live there. So Brazil adopting and being, you know, whatever, 20-30%, that's a huge number of people that are enabled on IPv6. It could be far larger than another country. It could be the entire population of another country, depending on what that mobile provider or that service provider is doing, right? So you have to take that into consideration when you're going over the numbers. So maybe you can walk us through a little bit about maybe like, you know, what's Brazil seeing as a challenge, and then is that much of a bigger demographic than maybe some of the smaller countries in the region, and what sort of impact that has on the numbers that you guys look at LACNIC?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that point. We are doing, when we give the numbers, when I say that in Latin America, the average rate is about 25%, we are already measuring the population in each country. Okay, so the average that we're giving out, we're mentioning, it is a weighted average. So we consider the population in each country before releasing the number. I have also made that number without the population, and it just slide off a little, probably 20% or 22%, not that much. But you are right, but Brazil is over 300 million people, so a lot of people over there.
Mm-hmm. To shift gears a little bit, Alejandro, I don't know if our audience is aware of the way that Latin America has sort of a different way of allocating addresses based on a couple of exceptions by country. So I know Brazil has its own registrar and Mexico has its own registrar. So in general, like, what sort of impact does that have overall in terms of allocation of IPv6 addresses and resources? Has that hindered anything, or has it actually sped things up in those countries, or has there been any impact at all based on that?
I believe there is not impact. Mm-hmm. By the way, we have two countries that do the same. One is Brazil, and the other one is Mexico. They have what we call a NIR, a National Internet Registry. They follow the exact policies that we do in LACNIC. So there is not any positive or negative impact in the way they get their IPv6 prefixes or any other internet resource.
Yeah, I wanted to ask because we have here in the U.S., we have we've had quite a few government mandates over the years that have done at different levels, tried to sort of push IPv6 adoption. You know, initially it was getting government agencies to buy gear that supported IPv6. And that was very early, the early 2000s. And then more recently, they're getting quite aggressive with of moving to IPv6 only for federal agencies with, you know, by 2025, like 80% of the network would need to be IPv6 only. And now they've always sort of lagged behind the mandates in terms of the federal agencies. But do you have anything like that in the Latin American region? Are there any governments that are trying to enforce a similar kind of mandate to push IPv6 adoption?
That is a terrific point. And I can tell you that we have. There are many countries in our region that have similar mandates. Okay, mm-hmm. I can tell you off the top of my head, like Costa Rica, Mexico, Colombia, Ecuador, for sure, I'm missing a few others. And many of those mandates have been successful, without any doubt. And if I compare the current mandate that was implemented in the US in 2020, I can tell you there are a few good things trying to compare with the ones that I am aware that have been successful in our region. Let me summarize what I said. I believe a good mandate is like the one that is going to give a deadline, like 2025, 2023. You have to reach this percentage. I believe that kind of things are, they give good results. When the mandate is like too open, like, hey, please try to implement V6, sounds good. However, the people, unfortunately, is not going to deploy IPv6. In the other hand, I can tell you the way that we like to work in LACNIC. We do not like mandates. We do not like things to be by a policy or a law or something like that. We like more the cooperative way. Like, you know what, if you deploy IPv6, you are going to have more IPv6 addresses, you gain this, you can do that. The gamers are going to be very happy with because the games are not going to fail that much and that kind of things. I can tell you, that, let me mention very few. The Colombia mandate, from my point of view, has been very, very successful. You can see in the graph that the last year and a half, Colombia has been growing quite a lot. In this moment, they are working in a change in their mandate. They are going to do something that is very interesting. They are going to ask not only to have IPv6, but the websites of the government need to be also in IPv6. So they are doing really good stuff over there.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, and we should have started at the top, maybe around this, about what your role at LACNIC actually is, and then maybe talk a little bit about LACNIC in terms of what you guys are doing from a promotion, adoption, global impact around IPv6. So maybe we can reset a little bit there and give you a chance to talk about what your involvement and what your day-to-day role is at LACNIC so that the audience can sort of get a little bit more context there.
Sure. Thank you, Ed. Well, I work in LACNIC since 7 years. I have been in LACNIC working for 7 years. And my job is research and development. Actually, most of the IPv6 statistics that we release, I am the one who is working on that. I also give a lot of IPv6 training in the region. I try to participate in podcasts and webinars like this. I try to publish a lot of information about IPv6. I create videos like how you do this in IPv6, BGP in IPv6, IPv6 in Linux, trying to encourage the IPv6 adoption and to promote IPv6. That is something that in my daily basis. Also, well, regarding what we have done in LACNIC about the IPv6 deployment and promoting IPv6. We have done this for over a decade, for over 10 years. We have had probably at least two different IPv6 tours. When I mention IPv6 tour, I mean people traveling to different countries and cities, promoting IPv6, creating awareness of the IPv4 exhaustion. So we did that a lot. I think we were very successful on that. of course, everything could have been better. However, I believe that everybody was aware that the IPv4 exhaustion was coming, and it was not a lie. So it was something that was going to happen. And we have had many other initiatives. In this moment, we have something that we call IPv6 Challenge, which I really like. It is a kind of game where the people can participate and they are going to get prizes if they deploy IPv6. It is something very fun. We have a committee that read, for example, believe Tom wants to participate in this. He sends what he has been doing with IPv6, and we have a committee who is going to read what he has done, and they evaluate the work, and if they believe it is good, he's going to get, a prize. Well, a prize is more like the merit of winning a LACNIC event or something like that. We had a very famous podcast. It was called IPv6 Doctor. We had 50 questions in that podcast. What we did in that moment, we received questions from the community, and we tried to find the best person, the best possible person to give an answer to that question. Of course, everything related with IPv6. So we have been doing this quite a lot, and I believe we are going to work more on this. We hold a lot of different webinars during the year, and we're still giving training even during the pandemic.
I think your efforts are showing results. There's this RIPE NCC graph that I often check, and it shows, it's their IPv6 enabled networks graph. We'll put the link to this graph in the show notes. But it shows that the LACNIC region and countries and organizations have far more or higher percentage of autonomous systems or advertising IPv6 prefixes by far than any other region. And so do you have any insight about how LACNIC is able to get so far ahead of any other RAR in that effort? When you give someone an ASN, are you automatically giving them IPv6, or is the training and education you're giving them helping them put that into use and advertise that prefix more immediately than other RARs? What are some of the things that you're doing that are leading to that success?
I can tell you a few reasons why I believe that the numbers are like that. I know the website you are talking about. It tells you how many autonomous systems are in the region and how many of them are advertising IPv6 prefixes. The case is the following. About 9 years ago, probably, we are in 2021, in LACNIC, we implemented a policy where every new member that was getting IPv4 addresses, an IPv4 prefix, they were going to receive automatically an IPv6 prefix. Okay. Mm-hmm. During your question, you mentioned that if anybody who gets an autonomous system is getting also an IPv6 prefix, that is not the case. Ah. Every time everybody gets an IPv4 prefix, they get an IPv6 prefix automatically.
Okay.
With the very same information for asking IPs that we request to any member.
Okay.
Having said that, during the last probably 4 years, we have done an effort to try to reach out autonomous systems that have not advertised prefixes. And sometimes, a few times, I recognize that, we help the member to at least announce the prefix.
Yeah.
Okay. During our LACNIC events, as you probably know, we have 2 events per year. We have a small and private meeting where we have identified the members that are attending the LACNIC meeting, and they really want to advertise their prefix. If that is the case, we invite that member and we give a person-to-person help. Try, hey, okay, I can help you with this. Which operating system do you have? Who is your upstream provider? Maybe we can help you, or at least you can try to give him or her, give him a guidance. You know, you need to do this. You have to configure RPKI, create a letter and send it to your upstream provider. Please ask them to allow the BGP filters, to allow your prefix and that kind of things.
Yeah, that sounds like really a proactive strategy that's bearing fruit.
Thank you for that. Has not been easy. Now with the pandemic, we have to change everything because we are not with the member in front of us anymore. So we are thinking how we can do that this year. That is, we need to think in new ideas.
It's like you're not asking, would you like fries with that? You automatically stick fries in the bag because who doesn't like French fries?
Well, not that much.
They're not good for you, that's for sure.
And there are so many members that are still not announcing the prefix, but of course we are not going to force anybody to do something that they do not want to do. We just ask politely, hey, do you want us to help you? If they say yes, we're willing to help.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Cloudflare method of, you know, V6 enabling, you know, their CDN services for their customers. And if someone has to go through a few button clicks to opt out, you know, but they start from the default, assuming that you know, LACNIC organization, that LACNIC member is going to want IPv6. You just start from that premise. I think that's great.
Well, I'm happy that you believe that it is great. So if you think that it is great, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
What are the challenges of folks in the LACNIC region? What are they facing that's preventing them from adopting V6 besides the classic, I just don't want to do it because I'm waiting to retire sort of thing. But is there anything that you're seeing your members that are a true challenge that we're having this difficulty around IPv6, and how can you help, or what sort of resources do you think those folks need in order to help? Because I know LACNIC themselves are doing outreach, but I'm sure you have a whole host of member folks that are coming to you and saying, these are the things that are really a struggle for us. Is it training and education? Is it a lack of, hands-on labs and other things for them to work on? What are the things that are the big roadblocks?
That's a very good question. And I can tell you that it is something that probably in somehow the challenges that we are facing are not much different from other regions. You just mentioned many of them, like, for example, knowledge. That is something that we try to minimize in somehow. We have a campus, an online campus where our members can train themselves. And many times also we have also other courses open to everybody, to the public. But IPv6, of course, we have about 3 different IPv6 training in our campus. We have also tried to create awareness, like the people really need to deploy IPv6 because we ran out of IPv4 addresses. Another challenge could be the fear of change. You know, that is one that everybody in IT has. Like, if it works, do not touch it. People believe that if something works well, it shouldn't be meddled with. And, you know, there is like the feeling of insecurity regarding new things. But however, I would like to mention one challenge that probably we have. It is not nice. It is about investment. Organizations and companies in Latin America do not traditionally allocate as much funding as other regions, probably. Of course, I'm not talking about every region and every country, but probably in Latin America, you know, when you talk the money, you talk the wallet, they do not want to spend a lot of money. Maybe the revenue here, I am not completely sure about this, it's not that as much as in other regions, and they want to save as much money as possible.
Yeah, and it's a sort of dovetail on that. And it seems like it's true here as well. Maybe the overall average spend might be a little larger, but what they spend the money on is always kind of problematic when we're talking about getting IPv6 up and running. Because they'll spend it on hardware and software without really thinking too much about the expense. But if it's just purely an operational cost of you know, getting the IPv6 training or standing up a lab, they're less willing to maybe spend the money. And I suppose that's probably true in whatever region one happens to be in. But overall, that really makes it a longer cycle for IPv6 adoption if they're not willing to spend on the more operational side of things to get folks up to speed.
What we try to say to ISPs that probably are interested in IPv6, however, they do not want to invest any money, what we say to them is, well, do not invest money in this moment, but you will need at some point to change the CPE that you're giving to your customer. And maybe you have 100,000 customers. Probably every time you need to change or change the technology, the next technology or CPE that you're going to buy, do it with IPv6 ready. That's what we try to say to. But do not do it in this moment. There is not any need in, or immediate need to change and spend $1 million to deploy IPv6 right now. Try to do it with new technology.
Yeah, which they have to buy anyway at some point. So just making sure
that
it supports IPv6.
What resources can people use in country in LACNIC? Besides reaching you guys directly, are there other organizations you work with? How do folks get up and going? How are they going to get their jump start on their IPv6 journey and get going on getting V6 adopted in Latin America? What's the right way to go about it?
Of course, we have a lot of different consultants in our region. In LACNIC, we do not point like, if you want to deploy IPv6, try to reach this person or this company. But there are many consultants in the region. Many of them usually attend LACNIC events, and probably that is a good place to get in touch, you know, and to do networking with people. But there are a lot of companies. I know companies in Chile, in Colombia, in Argentina. At least in those countries, I know there are good professionals that can really help any ISP that want to deploy V6 easily. People who actually know a lot about the protocol, the technology, the way to, you know, to attack the technology in the ISP. So it is GPON, it is DSL, it is cable modem, it is LTE or whatever, 5G in this moment. Chile, Argentina, and Colombia, they have great staff over there. I know that there must be people in other regions that probably I am not fully aware of, but I know Latin America is a very big region too. We have 33 countries to cover. So I believe, of course, Brazil, there are plenty of good professionals too. However, maybe I have not been in touch with them.
Yeah, and you cover a big geography swath and a lot of countries. So it's not surprising. But I think if folks want to get started, LACNIC itself as a website is a wonderful place to start expanding. And then they can help you connect within your region, within your country, to find resources to get you connected up to find an IPv6 expert. Hopefully local language, local expertise about the country and what's going on is the right way to go, right?
Absolutely. Regarding the LACNIC's website, I want to mention that we have one page which has a lot of visits. The page is called Who is Implementing IPv6? It is supposed to have different ISPs for every country. Those ISPs have previously contacted LACNIC, have told us that they already support IPv6. In the past, a few years ago, that page was divided like in three different categories. The first one was who have already implemented IPv6, who is deploying IPv6 in this moment, and a third part, which was who wants to deploy or who is going to deploy IPv6 in the future. Recently, we removed this very last category, who is going to implement IPv6 in the future, because from our point of view, everybody should be deploying IPv6 in this moment or have already deployed IPv6 in their networks. So that is a very common page. And so every time LACNIC gets contacted, who has deployed IPv6, what we do, we send that the link, the URL of that website right away to the person who is asking for.
Oh, that's fantastic. So it's you guys have a good run rate of being able to provide information to folks in country. So we're hoping for those of our listening audience that are in the Latin American region, LACNIC is a wonderful resource. We'll have the website in the show notes. And if you can do that, I guess we need to get a Spanish language translation for the podcast now in order to get it out there. But yeah, it's a wonderful resource to go check out and take a look at. All right. Well, unlike V6, we've run out of space for this podcast. Thanks to today's guest, Alejandro Acosta. How can the audience follow you on the internet and, you know, blogs, if there's books, if there's websites, if you're on Twitter, how can folks reach out to you?
Sure. Well, of course, my email address, which is alejandro@lacnic.net. I do not use Instagram. Sorry for that. My apologies. And I do use Twitter. My account is IT and networking. Pretty easy. IT and networking. And of course, LinkedIn, which I usually use a lot.
Well, fantastic. Well, you can reach the IPv6 Buzz podcast on Twitter at IPv6 Buzz. And you can also hit up each one of us on Twitter. Tom is at IPv6 Tom. Scott is at Scott Hogue. And that's S-C-O-T-T-H-O-G-G. And you can hit up me. I'm at E Horley. And that's at E-H-O-R-L-E-Y. Thanks for listening to the IPv6 Buzz. You can find us on the Packet Pushers or any of your favorite podcast apps. Just search for IPv6 Buzz. If you like the show, please give us a rating on iTunes. Hopefully you're listening on Spotify too. And if you like the podcast, we really recommend you check out Heavy Networking, Day 2 Cloud, Network Break, just a tons of other great technical content over at packetpushers.net. So long, and until next time, we'll see you on the internet. The IPv6 internet, that is.
Thanks for listening to IPv6 Buzz, a podcast devoted to truth, justice, and 128 bits of address space. IPv6.